The Property Pod. Pod. Welcome to The Property Pod with MoneyWeb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector. And in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Sunny Banani, and welcome to The Property Pod, South Africa's premier property investor podcast. My name is Suren Naidu, and on this weekly MoneyWeb show, we gain insider insights from leading CEOs, directors, analysts, developers, and entrepreneurs in the country's dynamic property industry. It is Tourism Month in South Africa, and while we focused on the SEPOA convention for last week's pod, we're back with a tourism industry focus in this week's episode. Well, one could say hotel industry focus if you want to be specific, considering who we have on the podcast today. Myself and Olak, CEO of JSE-listed Southern Sun Hotels Group, joins us on the podcast now to share insights on how the industry is doing. The group will give us a great indication of how things are going in the South African industry, considering it's South Africa's largest hotel group with more than 80 hotels in the country alone. The last time we spoke, Marcel, on the pod was way back in September 2021, believe it or not, when you were CEO of Togo Sun Holdings. But since then, the group has unbundled its hotel assets with Southern Sun listed on the JSE, and Marcel is at the helm. Marcel, a very warm welcome to the Property Pod.
Thanks, Evan. Nice to be here.
Before we zone into the industry's performance and other issues, I see Southern Sun is one of the stocks that have been rallying on the JSE together with the REITs and other stocks. It hit 7 Rand on Friday. Are you happy with where things are going from a share price perspective? Finally, the market seems to be interested or seeing the value.
I mean, the last time we spoke, I was probably still being priced for bankruptcy in the middle of COVID, so. So it is quite nice that it's better to be being recognized. I think there's two factors. One is obviously the GNU optimism that is pervading the JSE. Everyone's feeling like probably more likely than not the future will be better than the past, and that businesses, particularly SA Inc. businesses, are not under the same amount of threat that they were. And then in our case, I think it's also recognition of what we did over the last 3 or 4 years. Cleaning up the structure. I mean, our results to March were very good on much the same occupancy as what we had pre-COVID, but much higher profitability, reduced debt, etc. So I think there's a bit of understanding or recognition by the market as to what Southern Sun actually is now, which wasn't there a couple of years ago.
So just to refresh some of our memories, when was it listed? And that must be the highest price yet since listing.
Yeah, it is an all-time high. We listed in June of 2019. So we unbundled hotels out of the big casino business 6 months or so before COVID hit, which in the history of timing wasn't that clever. So there wasn't a lot of trading for a long period before COVID hit. And then it was a case of surviving and not going into bankruptcy and not wiping out your shoulder with rights issues and so on. So it is a relatively newly understood business, I think, post-COVID. But we're producing good cash, and it is a much simplified structure. You'll remember we had the hospitality fund separately listed from Southern Sun, so you had two entry points to the group, and no one really understood what fitted where, and all of that's been cleaned up. So you got one clean income statement, one very understandable cash flow operations, and it's showing the profitability that's much, much higher than what it was pre-COVID. So I think that's all being recognized at the moment. And then you've got the GMU optimism, which is, I don't think, unfounded, but it's definitely helping all of us at the moment.
I would gather a little bit of interest rate positivity as well, or does that affect more the other listed companies?
So it doesn't affect us so much directly because we reduced our debt substantially. We went into COVID with $3.5 billion debt, and we've now got less than $1 billion, and I think we'll be virtually ungeared by the end of the year, maybe $400-500 million. But it does affect our customers. And that benefit has not come through yet. I mean, South Africa is still facing very high interest rates, and the consumer in South Africa is facing a cost of living crisis. But the optimism is that it will come down. So unlike the REITs, where it's immediate income statement benefit because the interest charge is reduced, in our case, it's all the people that stay with us. General business sentiment, business travel, consumer sentiment, consumer travel should improve because people start getting relief of low interest rates and the debt burden coming down.
Just for insight, since you mentioned Hotel Property Fund, that was a REIT at one stage. Just for our readers or listeners that don't know Southern Sun beyond the big brand, just to give some insight on some of the other hotels you own but are operated by other players, you know, you have some trophy assets there.
Yeah, so the Hospitality Fund was the big thing that we did, and we've got a number of hotels with that which subsequently went into our own brands, like Victoria Junction down in the Waterkant area, Arabella, Mount Grace, and so on. But there were a couple of hotels that are under long-term management contract by Marriott, Radisson, and so on. And they're nice properties. So we're quite unique in that we've got our own broad range of brands which are very recognized in the country. We operate probably 90 of our 95 hotels ourselves. But then we do own things like the Westin, which is a big, nearly 500-room, five-star hotel on the CTICC. It's the most profitable Marriott hotel in the country. We manage the manager, so Marriott reports to us there. We own a majority stake in the Radisson Waterfront in Granger Bay, which is the most profitable Radisson hotel in the country. And again, we manage the manager that operates under their brand. They run it. We control the body corporate and that sort of thing. So we are quite unique in that we've got very good insights into how the internationals operate. We use them where we see fit. And then we obviously have our own large central management structure and brand portfolio. And all of that comes into the fact that we own our assets. So we are able to own assets operated by others as well as own our own hotels, which is part of our strength.
We'll get to the V&A Waterfront in a bit because there has been some recent announcements on that front. But Marcel, I was at the Innate Synergy Investment Summit. I hope that I got the name correct in Johannesburg last week, and you were one of the speakers on a CEO panel. Innate is part of Standard Bank Group, and just out of coincidence, Southern Sun manages some of the prime hotel assets in the group through its Liberty and Liberty 2 Degrees subsidiary, including the likes of Sandton Convention Center. I got the tail end of the session there, but you were quite provocative, re-government focusing on their jobs and getting their jobs right instead of meddling in other sides of business. Do you want to share some of your insights that you shared at that event?
I mean, yeah, the context of the question was Kevin Lings, who moderated it, said, look, if you get 2 minutes, then you can say whatever you want to government. We put, you know, President Ramaphosa or whoever in front of you and tell them exactly what you think. And it's an interesting question, because if you just had 2 minutes, what would you say? And my answer was, get your house in order. You know, don't worry about, at the moment, the big NHI thing. Don't worry about the private hospitals. They run fine. They built them. They look after them. Don't worry about Adrian Gore with medical aid. He built a business. He does it. Get your own hospital sorted out. He saw the debacle that came out of Hill and Joseph Hospital. Remember how long it took them to get the Oliver Bethke Hospital fixed off in the fire. Get the basics right. And don't worry about what the private sector is doing. Lose the ideological hangover that government carries with. Get the basics right. And I think there was another speaker on the panel, Ogman Arby from Motors. And he put it so well. He said, you know, you've got multi-billion rand municipalities being run by people who are financially illiterate. And yet he's got chartered accountants running a motor dealership. Who's going to do better in the long term? The answer is get those basic things right. But it was in the context of you only got 2 minutes and you can get thrown out. So yeah, that's what I would have said.
Well, Southern Sun is at the coalface of the tourism industry, and we'll get to my next question. What were some of the other things you highlighted? Because it's not the first time you mentioned this, but you say, you know, despite the challenges in South Africa, even before the GNU and the elections, you were looking at opportunities. You still see opportunities. Prior to that, it was acquisition of Hotel Hospitality Property Fund and focusing on your core assets. But now you're talking about potential new investments in Cape Town and Umhlanga, believe it or not. Do you want to share some insights on that again?
So the heart of it is that our strategy is very inward focused. If I gave you 30 billion rand and 10 years, you couldn't build what the group's got. We have a 50-year legacy. We've got fantastic locations. So first and foremost, we are inward focused. We're putting a lot of money every year into renovation, upgrades, enhancements on our hotels, everything from a heating swimming pools through to full-blown renovations in places like Cullinan, Sandton, and Rosebank, because we believe we can get a lot more out of the assets that we have before we go and acquire other assets or build new. All of that said, if you don't ultimately build, you will fall behind. But even there, our opportunities are inward focused. We own the Beverly Hills. It is 60 years old. We own all the land next to it up to the pools. There's an opportunity to do a full redevelopment of that site. Not going to be the Beverly Hills, but it could be bigger and it could be a really top-class expansion. So we own two development sites up on the ridge in Umhlanga that ultimately you need more stock in Umhlanga. It's a very good node there. And then we own the land outside the Cullinan opposite the CTICC in Cape Town. So they are really big development projects that could come along, but they are still in that inward-focused world in that they're our sites. They are part of the group. They're in markets we understand very well. What we don't want to do is make a mistake. So we've now come through COVID. Our cash flows are strong. Our debt is reduced. We're not going to rush off and just throw billions into the ground on a hope. But you have to have a long-term plan. And these are all the type of things that we look at. They say, get more out of what you've got. Renovate your own property. Develop where you know you've got a strong market rather than rushing out and trying to do something in either foreign world that we know nothing about or buying other people's hotels. And if nothing else works, you buy back shares. You know, we're still trading cheap compared to what our replacement costs do.
Okay. Just on that, what is the time frame for that? Because, you know, there is excitement around investment, but it's coincidental. We'll get to Durban Beachfront in a sec. But Umhlanga, you say it's doing well. You're underrepresented there. You've mentioned that a couple of times, even in your, I think it was your half-year presentation earlier this year. What's the time frame for that in terms of not just Umhlanga, but, you know, the Cullinan is a huge hotel?
Yeah, so we're busy working on them. It takes a while. It takes building plan approvals. It takes, you got to deal with council. And so we submitted the building plans for the Beverly Hills to the Durban City. It takes time. These are multi-year projects. They're not going to be a type of thing if they're getting off to happen in the next few months or so. And then you've got to fund it. And certainly in my career, we used to be owned by South African Brewery. We had infinite money. Then we had casinos that had a lot of money. And now we're a standalone hotel group, so we've got to be very careful, and we aren't going to put the group, the very nice group that we've got, at risk by overgearing in the short term. So they're in our medium term plans, and we've had one good year post COVID, and I think we just need to understand a little bit more how that market's looking. It's looking good, but it's not the time to go and bet the entire farm overnight on multiple projects.
You mentioned earlier that things are looking better with optimism around GNU. Obviously, it doesn't necessarily affect you as much considering your debt levels is low, the upcoming interest rate cuts that everybody's talking about. In fact, it's this week. But it's a lot of positives. What keeps you up at night as CEO of South Africa's largest hotel group?
I guess my fear is that it doesn't hold. You need the GNU to hold. They need to work through when they have conflicts, whether it be national health insurance, whether it be the Bella education policy, etc., that they were fighting about last week. It's fine. It's a coalition of parties. They're not going to agree on everything, but they need to hold that GNU working. And I think there is a sense that government is far more working for South Africa than what it was before, a sort of party above everything else. But if that doesn't hold, then all this optimism will disappear in a flash. That would be number one fear. And then it's always, you don't know what you don't know. No one saw COVID coming. We don't know what happened in geopolitics. China invade Taiwan. Like, you just don't know what comes next and what the consequences of that are. So you manage your risk. And a large catastrophe is a combination of three or four small ones. You start a big development, you overgear, and you have a downturn in the market all at once, and suddenly you're in crisis. You have to make sure we're not in that type of position. You need to be very resilient as a business that we can handle anything that you've thrown at us.
My mistake, I mentioned half year, but it was your annual results, so your upcoming results will be your interim results. Just in terms of that, following your annual results, you had your annual report come out recently, and the group highlighted the issues about Durban and even talking about it potentially losing some business to Mozambique. But you have a very big presence in Durban compared to Mozambique, so that is a bit of a context aspect to it. Do you want to expand on how important Durban is now, especially considering the challenges the group has had, you know, with the Durban beachfront, whether it's the floods and the sewage issue and, you know, just perception? You've been quite vocal on that as well.
Yeah, so the perception of Durban is worse than what the reality is. I keep making that point. I mean, we still trade well in Durban. It's not booming like Cape Town's been. And a lot of that is around the PR of it. Our issue in Durban is two land leases that are, you know, Maharani land leases that expire in a couple of years. And there is a public process that's happened. There was a tender with only bidder. We don't know the outcome of it yet, but I'm sure some arrangement or agreement will eventually be reached with the city. But ultimately, the Durban beachfront is hard work. Well, they're big hotels. There's a lot of rooms to fill. The Durban Convention Center has not got a full calendar like the Cape Town one and the Sandton Convention Center has got. So they need to get that convention center going to push Durban. The comments around Mozambique, I think we've missed a little bit by the media. What we're seeing is port business, meaning between Durban and Maputo. Obviously, the tourism numbers in Maputo are fractional compared to what you're getting to call it in. That is not comparable at all, but we are seeing some port business. And you know, hotels like South Beach does a lot of business with Transpac. We've got a lot of people working in the port staying with us. And when that shipping business moves north, well, they also stay with us because we've got hotels in Maputo. But Durban's got a way to go to get back its crowd. And I think there's a lot of work being done on those, but you are seeing a shift. And places like Maputo benefit from that because the ports are more efficient.
Well, thanks for that context. I just remember you talking about your investments coming up in Umhlanga, and that's two different hotels, and that is in the eThekwini municipality. But coastal cities seem to be getting the priority there. Cape Town, we all know about how well the mother city is doing. I think there's huge expectation of the upcoming summer season. Can you share some insights on performance-wise for Cape Town and some of your expansion plans there?
The Cape Town is probably 45-50% of our operating profit now. We've got a lot of stock in Cape Town, very focused around the Cape Town International Convention Center. Got the Western, the Southern Sun Cullinan, the Southern Sun Waterfront. So that's 1,400 rooms there. And in total, we've got about 8,500 rooms in the Western Cape. It is a very strong market. A lot of that goes down to the work done in the V&A by David Green and his team. I mean, South Africa really has two big tourism attractions, Cape Town and Kruger Park. And the Western Cape has done through Westro and so on, great stride in direct air access, managing the city well, the cruise liners that visit, it's also all good business for us. So your international tourism adds a layer of really good business, and then you've got good corporate market that keeps you going through winter and so on. So the Western Cape is by far the strongest. We've seen good rate growth post-COVID. In the hotel, you only make your money out of getting the right rate. The rates seem high to the rest of the country, but they're only probably half of what you get in some international cities. So there's still scope, I think, for rate upside. But yeah, it's a great example of when something is run properly, it attracts money automatically. Cape Town doesn't have to beg people to invest there. Everybody comes logging to invest because the basics are done right. And then everybody works. It's a great success story at the moment.
On that note, you were quite provocative in your last results presentation. I think there was a question about developments, and you seemed like you chewing at the bit to try to get into the waterfront beyond your Radisson Hotel. It seems the V&A like the international brands. What are you saying to the owners, Growthpoint and the Public Investment Corporation, or perhaps directly to David Green?
Yeah, so they've got a strategy. They want to be the hub for the big global brands in there, which I absolutely understand. I mean, some of those, you know, Marriott has got 200 million members. We understand Marriott well because you've got the Westin, so we know exactly what they do. And they've got, I think they're converting the Table Bay and Intercontinental, and they're bringing a Marriott branded hotel on the other keys. I mean, at some point, I would love to see a sunburst shining brightly in the V&A. We do stay in contact with David. We deal with him through Westin. We, I think at some point we'll get a chance in there. But their next two hotels are international brands, so we remain hopeful.
So it's very costly as well, because I think it's actually Growth Point that's spending the money together with PIC for some of the newer ones. But Fairmont's have also come in there. Marcel, just to conclude, where are occupancies sitting at the moment? And what are your expectations for the year ahead, in particular the upcoming summer season?
So we think summer's going to be good. We were a little bit nervous of Cape Town 2-3 weeks ago. September is a fantastic month. We're doing very well in September. October looked a bit weak, but it's come out. So sometimes you just get a little wobble in that booking pace that we call it. How fast are you filling up your forward diary? But it looks to be good. So I think Cape Town will be fine. Probably good growth on last year. Joburg and Sandton's come back nicely. So the corporate market is moving there a bit. Whether that's GNU related and so on, I don't know. But there's definite activity in Joburg and Sandton, which were the last to recover out of the COVID world. So that's nice. It's going to be an interesting 6 months. I mean, you know, year-on-year comparisons, you've got the elections are very disruptive to hotel travel. You do good business with the IEC and people that work on the elections, but generally a midweek public holiday election, like everyone stops traveling before and after, and especially when there was so much uncertainty. If you think back to how elections went, and they didn't know if this thing was going to be GNU or EFF. So there was a bit of fear, and that definitely had an impact on travel generally. And the GNU itself is affecting government travel. Just everyone needs to settle down, and they've all got new bosses and changes in departments and so on. So that's pretty natural, but it means you have a slowdown in particularly conferencing business. And we had bricks in the prior half, which were very big for us. But all of that says, I think it's going to be a good year again. You know, if you can get, what we don't know is the benefit of like the lower interest rates coming through. We've seen some fantastic things out of the CNU. So if you take the Department of Home Affairs, I mean, that's just an unbelievable overnight success story. They're clearing that backlog of work permits. They've announced the Trusted Tour Operator program, which means you should start unlocking your Chinese and your Indian market, because the tour operators can take responsibility for visas for visitors as opposed to everyone having to go to Beijing or New Delhi themselves. So you're seeing some really nice good news story there. How long that's going to take to translate into significantly boosted tourism numbers, I don't know. But I'd much rather have the good news than bad news at the moment.
Well, one of the bad news points coming out over the last week is more wobbles at SA Tourism. But I'm not going to ask you about that. Marcel, I appreciate your time on the podcast today. That was Marcel van Olleck, the CEO of JSE-listed Southern Sun Hotels.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Suren Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. Follow Suren on Twitter at Suren Naidu for more of his property industry content and other business stories. The Property Pod.